Remember the first time you were really, really scared and you liked it? Maybe it was when you picked up a book by Stephen King, like The Shining.
An awful lot of the people who read The Shining were like 14 years old. They were at summer camp. They read it under the covers with a flashlight on. And, in a way, being scared is like sex. There's nothing like your first time.
Okay, that's Stephen King describing the challenge that he has taken on, writing a sequel to such a terrifying and memorable novel. The Shining, which later became a film starring Jack Nicholson, is the story of Jack Torrance, a man struggling with demons from alcoholism to writer's block. And to make matters worse, he takes the job of caretaker at an isolated old hotel in the Rocky Mountains. He's snowed in with his wife, his son Danny, and a lot of ghosts. Danny, the little boy, was blessed and cursed with the ability to read thoughts and see the future. And King picks up his story in the sequel. It's called Doctor Sleep. Danny, as an adult, is using his gift to help ease the pain when someone dies.
I wanted to kind of revisit Danny and see what he was like as a grown-up. I think that we all have this kind of desire to reconnect with friends from when we were younger. That's the whole basis of high school and college reunions. So I was also wanting to re-meet some of the people that I knew from The Shining. And I also wanted to investigate this whole idea about can we rise above our parents? Can we rise above the mistakes that our parents made or the character flaws that our parents had?
When I went back to reread The Shining before talking to you and then reading Dr. Sleep, I was left with this question at the end. Was Stephen King kind of setting us up for a sequel?
No, I had no idea. I got them through the hotel. The hotel burned down. There's a Stanley Kubrick film of the book that most people know, and in that particular version of The Shining, the hotel freezes solid, which kind of reflects Stanley Kubrick's temperament at that time. And in my version, the hotel burns, which reflects my temperament at the time.
Why do you say that this exploding, burning building reflected your temperament?
Well, I was hot. And as a writer, I've always been confrontational. I've never been cool. I've never been calculating. My idea is to come up to you and grab you by the lapels and say, I have this story. I want to tell it to you. And when you hear it, you're not going to want to cook dinner. You're not going to want to clean the house. You're not going to want to go to your job. You're just going to want to read this story and care about what comes next.
Well, let's get into the world of Dr. Sleep, the new book, and alcoholism, a big part of it. Was that a conscious choice? I mean, did you really want to dig into alcoholism and sort of that vulnerability?
Well, I was interested in it for a lot of different reasons. There does seem to be a genetic predisposition to alcoholism. That's the nature part. The nurture part is that if you grow up in a household where there's a lot of drinking, you have a tendency to become a drinker yourself. So I wanted to see if it was possible to escape those things. But the other thing that sort of interested me was that Jack Torrance never tries Alcoholics Anonymous. That is never even mentioned in The Shining. He is what they call white knuckle sobriety. He's doing it all by himself. So I wondered what it would be like to see Danny first as an alcoholic and then see him in AA.
The author's note in this book seems to make it pretty clear that you spent some time in AA yourself, and I wonder if those experiences shaped this in any sort of way.
That reminds me of something that the guy says in the British TV series House of Cards. You might think so, but I could not possibly comment. One of the traditions of AA is we try to maintain complete anonymity at the level of press, radio, and the films. And as you know, we're on the radio right now.
Yes,
So
that is true.
you could say, having read these two books and knowing that I was a very heavy drinker at the time that I wrote The Shining, and I haven't had a drink in about 25 years now. So you could draw certain conclusions from that, but I wouldn't cop to it. Let me just say this, David. I've done a lot of personal research in these subjects.
Thinking about you as a writer, look back to 1977, The Shining is first published, and now, more than 30 years later, you do the sequel. How have you changed as a writer over this time?
Well, I think that I've gotten a little bit more sophisticated in my writing ability. I want to try to keep what I'm doing fresh. I don't want to phone it in, let's put it that way. And that in itself makes it possible to work to the top of your abilities. I mean, I don't want to get all spiritual about this or anything, but
feel free.
No, I don't think so. I don't feel free. But let's put it this way. There are plenty of people who've got lots of talent. This world is lousy with talent. The idea is to work that talent and try to get to be the best person that you can, given the limits of the talent that God gave you, or fate, or genetics, whatever name you want to put on it. So I think a lot of people have sort of suggested that the stuff that I do may be second class because there's so much of it. And my response to that is, I'm going to quit and be dead for a long time. This is the time that I've got, and I want to use it. I want to use it to the max. I really want to try and mine everything that I've got.
Why do you say you don't feel free to get spiritual with me here? Because you certainly do in your books.
I do, and that's the proper venue for it. And I let my characters speak for me. And the one thing that I don't want to do at all is to get up on a hobby horse, because I don't respect that. My main job is to tell stories and to be a storyteller. And what I feel about spirituality, the afterlife, this life, are things that should come through in the book. But I don't put up any billboards.
Because there's some really moving scenes in Dr. Sleep about dying. And I did wonder if you've sort of thought about dying in a possible afterlife, you know, as you get older.
Yeah, I think about it a lot. The older I get, the more I think about it, because the closer it comes. I'm very interested in the actual act of dying, which is the last great human action that we have in our lives. And it's the one event in our lives that nobody can describe adequately, because nobody comes back to talk about it. There are people who claim that they've done that and they've had near-death experiences. And I'm kind of like, okay, if you say so. My feeling is death is the great mystery, and it's the final act in our lives. And it deserves, if anything ever does, it deserves the kind of treatment that a guy like me can give it, which is speculative and imaginative.
Stephen King, this has been a real pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
His new novel, Dr. Sleep, is out today. This is NPR News.